let's welcome in the guy that knows every single player that was drafted and every little detail about their game for the Gazzola Chronicles, brought to you by Action Electrical, a family-run business of 49 years. They've expanded to solar. Check out all that information. Go to actionelectrical.net. And we all welcome in Tom Gazzola. And Tom, a much different-looking draft for the Oilers as far as volume. And it kind of feels a little anticlimactic after some of the other news surrounding the team, does it not?
Yeah, a little bit. What up, Struds? Happy Positive Friday to you. I'll start out with that. But they get their four prospects. We knew that they didn't have many picks. We knew that they were looking to move Zach Cassian. They got that accomplished, open up some cap space. We get the news that it sounds like Duncan Keith is going to confirm his retirement. Even more cap space. So I think, if you're looking at it from that point of view, when things were going into pretty tight when it came to the cap study, now it looks pretty good. So they got around $20 million to play with, and Ken Holland can go shopping on the 13th. And they've got four prospects now. I like this Reed Schaefer pick late in the first round, Struds. I mean, I know there's been some comparisons. I saw an Alex Tuck someone threw out there. But I was watching his highlights, and he's a big boy. He can score. He can score from distance. And the other thing, too, is it sounds like he doesn't shy away from mixing it up at 6'3", 213, and at 18. That's pretty good. And the guy that comes to mind, if he could be like player, Tanner Jeannot, that we know from Nashville, I think that would be a huge boost for the Oil in a couple of years. So an interesting draft study, and I know that the team wanted to restock the shelves when it came to prospects, but it's probably going to have to wait another year. And like you said, if you don't get drafted, it's not the end of the world. Guys can still get signed.
When you look at the space now created by Duncan Keith, both cap-wise and on the roster-wise, so $5.5 million, second left defenseman, do you believe that gets filled by a trade, or do you think it gets filled by a free agent kicking around out there?
I think there's going to be a free agent that they go shopping for, like a good veteran defenseman. If there's one that can slide on the left side or the right side, that would be ideal. But you do have Philip Robert coming in. He'll probably play. I know he probably, they want him to win a spot at camp and all that, but he's got a front row seat and they'll give him tons of opportunity to do so. But yeah, Struds, I think, they'll likely get the Brett Kulak situation sorted out. And I'm assuming Brett Kulak would like the idea of coming back to Edmonton. It was a good fit last season. And if that can continue and the money's right and the term's good and it makes sense for both sides, then fantastic. So I still think a good, decent veteran, rugged defenseman that can give you 40 good games and you can rely upon him is something that this team will probably lean towards going out and getting, Struddy. And I think maybe you can, see if anything shakes loose UFA-wise. Ben Sherratt's name is out there. Now they have money. Maybe they could throw some money at Sherratt. I know that's a player that a lot of Oilers fans were talking about going into the trade deadline, and now maybe they can go and get him. And we'll see where it goes. But, Struds, there's a bunch of other names on the UFA defenseman list, too. It's an interesting scenario all of a sudden, and it doesn't look so bleak when it comes to the cap situation.
It's funny you bring up Ben Sherratt, and I'm not sure he's the right fit. They're looking for a top four, right? I think is what you're looking for, a left shot. And I don't know that he is a stud defenseman to be a top four. Now, can he sidle up beside Bouchard? Yeah, he might be that guy. He might be that guy. But is he really going to, is he that much better than Kulak? And for what I'm guessing the number might look like.
Well, I mean, if you had him and Kulak, it's a hypothetical, first of all, with Sherratt. It's just a name that we talked a lot about and heard a lot about last season. So that's why I kind of threw it out there. I'm looking at the list right now, and, if you're looking at guys like P.K. Subban's a UFA, Nick Leddy, Anton Strålman, Danny DeKeyser, Calvin DeHaan, John Klingberg. I know people would probably like to see John Klingberg, but he's not really a rugged defenseman. He's a very good defenseman. Josh Manson's a UFA. So it's an interesting list, but you're right. You need to fit the need, and you need someone who could probably bring on a bit of a physical presence as well, especially with the Oilers losing Zach Kassian. Now, I mean, Zach Kassian wasn't always very physical when he did play last season and the season prior, but yeah, I think a good, rugged defenseman would be ideal. And I don't know which way Ken Holland wants to go with this, though, Struts. And now all of a sudden, a ton of different options have opened up, though.
Yeah, a ton of options. Joined by Tom Guzzola, taking a look at the NHL draft. You know, you got to give credit where it's due. And I'm looking at the Carolina Hurricanes and the way that they signed D'Angelo, used him for a year, and he used them both ways. A lot like Kane, you know, he kind of left in not the kindest of terms from the Rangers. And now they flip him around for a second, third, and a fourth. Whoa, that's a bit of tidy work there, right there, by the Hurricanes.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that team's going to be good. It's going to have to try to make some tweaks as well. And it's a mutually beneficial relationship that happened between D'Angelo and the Canes. And, yeah, they turned them into assets. That's good asset management by the Carolina Hurricanes. And we'll see where it goes. That's a team that wants to be a contender. And a lot of people thought they were, Strutty, but not quite there. And you know, I think Edmonton's another team that you look at and you go, well, they made it to the third round, and maybe Edmonton has a couple of situations where it could turn itself into an elite team, but got some holes to fill. Yeah, that's smart management of assets by the Carolina Hurricanes, and we know that they're owned by an interesting guy in Tom Dundon, and he has certain methods to his madness, and it seems to be working, but they're trying to go and put themselves over the top. And that's a good way to restock the shelves and get a lot of picks. Is you take a guy like D'Angelo, who is a bit of a problem in New York, and you have a good situation with him for 1 year, and boom, you got three picks. So that's well done. Hat tip to the Canes for sure.
Yeah, no, I think it's like, listen, he was a lot like Kane. He had to rebuild his yep. rep and they did, and they used him, and they got those three picks. I know everyone's like, Strutty, you just talk about picks, but those picks, like I think I want to make something clear now. I want to get your thoughts. The same with Zach Kassian. It isn't always just the fact that the actual player you may draft to that is trade capital. Those yeah. picks are trade capital. So now the Carolina Hurricanes have acquired three picks that are trade capital, whether it's at a deadline or you know, or in the offseason or whatever. And the Oilers had to remove trade capital to facilitate the trade for Kassian. I get it. I'd probably rather do that than dead cap space, because the Oilers are so close to getting out from underneath, you know, what's been, it feels like years, going back to Gribas, a spine out of seven defensemen, but they're getting closer, right? Like they got, after this year, Lucic is off, and so is Sakara. So that's, what is that? That's 2.25 million. That's a player. That's a player yep. they're going to be able to afford next year. Then maybe the closer the cap going up. So they're getting closer. But man, that's why I talk about those picks. They are valuable assets. And when you don't have them, you now got to kick it further down the road. It'll take it from years further and further away, Tommy.
That's a good point. I mean, you could look at the contracts that Nugent Hopkins and even Hyman signed, and that's kind of kicking it down the road too, Strutty, with the term on those contracts. But this is a win-now situation for the Oil. And honestly, this team has been in a position where it's been dealing with dead cap space because of buyouts. And that's a good thing that they were able – I know the goal was to trade Kassian. They were able to accomplish that. Yes, it did come at a bit of a cost, or some people probably say steep cost, and didn't like the fact that they had to give up multiple picks to move out a bad contract, but that's kind of the business right now, and they don't want to go back into dead cap space, and you know what, they were able to wiggle their way out of it. It wasn't ideal, but they put themselves into a better spot without having to deal with Zach Kassian buyout. I mean, they still have James Neal for a couple more years. But you're right. No Lucic after this coming season. No Sekera on the books after this season coming up. And just James Neal. And that's a good thing. You don't want to be wasting cap space like that. I know buyouts are kind of an easy way out, but they're costly, man. Literally and figuratively.
Well, I think that's $2.25 million next year. It's literally a player.
Yeah. Right?
That's a third, fourth line, somewhere in there. Maybe, you know, and it's a big, that's a lot of money when you're dealing with it, especially when the cap's not moving. So the challenge for Ken Holland and companies, are joined by Tom Guzzola, is to use the money wisely now so that you're kind of position yourself to just keep adding pieces that make sense. And this will be the next, July 8th, the next, I don't know, Tommy, 10 days. Let's take it through till, next Monday, 10 days from now. They're going to be wildly entertaining because there's going to be so many moving parts. You know, the Barry thing, a lot of people say they're not linked. I don't know. Maybe does if there's a trade that makes sense, maybe there is that opportunity. But again, you got to backfill that. And now you're backfilling two veterans that got you the Western Conference final.
Yep. I mean, this team, and we knew this team was going to look a lot different in terms of players. The base is there. You've got your foundation and your core players. But the side pieces were going to be different. We're going to see some faces coming in as we've watched some faces moving out. And I honestly didn't think, Strutty, that both Keith and Smith wouldn't be coming back, but looks like that is actually the case. And it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to improve. They know where they're at with the team that they did have. And I think can understand what it takes to get to the next level and build with the group you do still have remaining, you're in a good spot. But when we get to free agency on the 13th, a lot of eyes are going to be on the oil, and we'll see what happens. I'm curious to see what happens with the goaltending situation, Struds, because the dominoes are already starting to fall. Billy Husso to the wings, and now we're hearing Bill Guerin snapping on the media when he was pressed about Cam Talbot and still having Marc-Andre Fleury, and it sounds like Talbot wants to be a starter, and you got the Flower there, and all of a sudden another goalie controversy for Marc-Andre Fleury. So it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. It's going to be entertaining. We're going to be watching with a keen eye, and buckle up, baby. And it's funny, too. You know what, Struts? We're going to be seeing rookie camp happening or development camp right away. There's been no offseason. It's just been one continuous. Like the 21-22 season really hasn't ended. It's been unbelievable. So for a hockey mad market like ours, bring it on, baby. I don't think anyone's going to complain about that.
Well, shifting gears to another big opportunity to watch some sports, the World Cup. And, I've never been to one. I would like to go to one at some point. I will go and I expect I'd be tipping a few back. But that might not be available this year.
No, not in Qatar, Strudge. You want to get to the stadium. All these beautiful brand new stadiums you want on a hot day or night in November in Qatar, and you want to have a cold one, you can't. There's going to be no alcohol sales in the stadiums at the World Cup. And, it's not illegal to drink in Qatar, but it is illegal to be drunk in public and to drink heavily, obviously. And so there's going to be a couple of designated areas around stadiums that will allow you to purchase a beer or a drink. But once you get to that stadium, man, it's like some NCAA stadiums where it's a dry stadium. And I just find that interesting. I it's kind of a bummer as a sports fan that loves to go and have a pop at a game, that you're going to something like a World Cup and you can't have a beer while you watch your nation play. That to me is kind of mind blowing, but that's the way they do things over there. And that's what's going to happen. But Struds, they have one liquor store in all of Qatar, right outside of Doha. And I read that today, and I was just like, wow, okay, different indeed. So no beers. Maybe it'll keep the fighting down to a minimum between the fans from their respective nations. What do you think about that?
I don't know. The passion, man, the passion's there. But, yeah, alcohol does seem to bring out the fire or the feistiness in the people. So,
yeah.
Tommy, thanks for this, buddy. I can't wait to keep this journey going next week and see what happens with not just Oilers but around the NHL.
Strutty, have a great weekend, my friend.
Talk to you later. That's Tom Gazzola of the Gazzola Chronicles.